Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. King's Court, thank you so much for the privilege to come here just to worship and to fellowship and then to bring the word in this, you know, precious hallowed assembly. PB, permit me to call you PB. I'm part of the family now. And all the leaders, Pastor Shina and all the other leaders, thank you all so much. And this is great worship. Thank you. Let's appreciate these guys. This is wonderful. Let's clap better now. You guys, you are doing a great job. And, you know, let me tell you something the Lord told me the other day. I was worshiping, and then the Lord said that one of the reasons why worship in heaven will be superlative and indescribable is that they don't require breath to sing. You know, you sing, you have to take a breath, and then you convert the breath to sound. It's your breath that you convert to sound. So imagine a situation where people don't have to breathe to sing. It means that the notes are infinite. You can do a note, and it will never finish. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to the Son of God. Hallelujah. Wow. I was blown away by that understanding. In heaven, life is not by breathing. It is the glory of God, the life of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Thank you all so much. And thank you once again. Please, you may be seated. Thank you. What an honor. What a blessing to be here at the Kingdom Summit. It's my first Kingdom Summit. And I want to thank you, sir, for having us here in the name of Jesus. I have a habit when I am invited to speak somewhere. And my standard habit is to pray until I know what God wants to accomplish in the service. Because if you don't have clarity about the divine objective, even what you are going to say, you don't have a message until you know what God wants to do. So the message is then shaped by the purpose of God for that particular moment. And the Lord said to me that He wants to multiply ambassadors of His will in every sphere, in every sector. Ambassadors of the will of the King. In the course of what the Lord has placed on my heart to share, we are going to see the details of that. But Father, we just thank you for the privilege to know you, to worship you, to serve you, to belong to you. We thank you that you are present already. He says, yes, He loved the people. All your saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Every one of them shall receive of your word. So we are here now. Please open your heart to us. And we thank you that your word is life. You are not just going to talk. Your words will execute what you are talking about. For the glory of your worthy name. All of this by the working of your Holy Spirit in and through our hearts. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Okay, I made some slides and I will be alternating between my slides and some passages of scripture which I would like us to read as we go on together today. Pray for me that I will not be too excited because I want to be very deliberate this morning. Very deliberate. All right, so okay, great. All right, so Kingdom Summit, Grace, Influence, and Change. And up there, I have our roadmap, and you can see I will make some comments, some introductory remarks, and then we will focus on context. And our context in this summit is the kingdom, is the kingdom. And then we are going to come to content, and content is where we now focus on grace, influence, and change. Then we have certain conclusions, inevitable, inescapable conclusions from our engagement with our context and our comments. And then, beyond the conclusions, there has to be a commissioning. Because, you see, this whole thing will not change anything if all we do is hear. Actually, hearing the word of God is a liability. There are times that there are certain messages that it's better that you didn't hear them. Because now that you have heard them, responsibility falls on you to be a doer of that word that you have heard. Otherwise, then that word is going to stand against you in judgment. And that's not the plan of God for us. Now, each of all of these things that we have up on the board, they are big matters. So there is no way to study them in detail, but we are going to pick out relevant things as we address what God wants to achieve. And then I will encourage us, there are some of the resources there, some of those books and things there, down there on your way out. I encourage you to check them out because they deal with some of these matters in further detail. And if you also go online and search my name, Dr. Ferdinand Mweke, on YouTube, you will find more teachings along some of these lines that can still be helpful to you. And of course, you can subscribe to some of the videos as well, because I think that will help you. So that brings me to certain comments that I want to make. But before we make those comments, I'd like to read some scripture. Come with me to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 12. We will read the scriptures and then make these comments and then make some progress. In 1 Chronicles 12, you have from verse 1. Now, these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. Please pay attention to that, because that these guys didn't come when David had settled on the throne in Jerusalem. It was while he was still a fugitive from Saul. So they came to look for him out in the hold. And the Bible now says they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Now verse 2, it says, they were armed with bows, and they could use, please note that, they could use what? Both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. And they were people of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. I want you to note that these guys are Saul's relatives. Don't forget that King Saul is on the throne. Now, some of the relatives of the man on the throne are going to the man in the bush, the fugitive. And these guys were not ordinary people. The Bible tells us that they could use both the right hand and the left in throwing stones, missiles, and shooting arrows, projectiles. In fact, in one account, the Bible says, if you set up a strand of hair as the target, they will throw with the right, they will hit it. They will throw with the left, they will hit it. The accuracy was bilateral. There was no disadvantage. If you came from this side, they were ready. If it came on this side, so they didn't have to turn. You know, there was a time in football, soccer, when those strikers, if you pass the ball and it went to the wrong foot, what will they do first of all? They will try to position it to their strong foot so that they can play it. But do you notice that the type you have these days, whether the ball comes on the left, or it comes on the right, or it comes on the head, or it comes from the back, they find a way to get it into the goal there. Which is why somebody can be bought for as much as 80 million pounds or more. These guys are no longer departmental. They have gotten such mastery. So these are the kind of people that came to David. And then look again in verse 16. These are important preambles to where we are going. Look at verse 16. Then some of the sons of Benjamin, they came to David at the stronghold. And then David went to go and, don't forget that these are sons of Benjamin. Now they are coming to David. So David went to go and meet them, because this is suspicious. So David says to them, if you have come peaceably to me, you guys from Benjamin and Judah, to help me, my heart will be united to you. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, so may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Now, watch what happened in the next scripture. It says, then the Spirit of God came on who? On Amasai. This Amasai was not a priest. What was Amasai, everybody? He was chief of the captains. The general. The Spirit of God came on the general, and the general began to prophesy. And look what he said. We are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God is helping you. So David received them, and he made them captains over the troop. Now, look at the agenda that these guys are trying to fulfill. You will find that from verse 22. For at that time, they came to David day by day. People were, day by day. There was this continual migration. A realignment of forces was taking place day by day, until it was a great army, like the army of God. Now look at verse 23. Now, these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war, and they came to David at Hebron. Now, watch the agenda. Look why they came. Why did they come? To turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Now, please pay some attention now as we look at a few things from these things that we have read. You see, what we read in this passage tells us that prophetic words don't come to pass just like that. You remember that David had been anointed king. You remember the story, Samuel went to the house of Jesse and he anointed David king in the presence of his brothers and all of that. But David did not automatically get to the throne simply because he's been anointed. And let me say to you that that's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus has been anointed the king of the nations. But just like David, and don't forget that Jesus is sitting on the throne of David. I'm sure you remember something like that. But David had to have an army. And this army fought. When you read the story, the Bible tells us that there was war continually between the house of Saul and the house of David. And then the house of Saul kept growing weaker, and the house of David, you know, much stronger. And that war continued. And as you look at that thing, it's a picture of what needs to happen for Jesus to sit enthroned practically over the nations for which he has been anointed. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. But we don't see everything subject to him yet, practically. But what needed to happen to turn the kingdom? Somebody say that with me, to turn the kingdom. Turn the kingdom. In my mind, turn the kingdom. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever. In other words, there is a turning of the kingdom from the expired house of Saul to the house of David. That is what needs to happen in this terminal generation. And the church is God's agent for that. Those that God is going to use in that direction, they will be people that are willing to make strategic realignment. Watch. You notice that there were realignments. People began to move from the house of Saul to the house of David. Even Saul's relatives who could have benefited from his, you know, maybe getting contracts or something from King Saul, their tribal man, they saw a bigger agenda than tribal agendas and they began to realign. One of the things that will happen in this terminal generation, watch, and the Lord will be speaking to several of us here along this line, there will be a realignment of allegiances. There will be a realignment of resources in the church. There will be offerings are going to be diverted from certain ministries to another direction. The reason is because the house of Saul has expired. There will be tectonic shifts. People are going to be moving. You won't be able to explain it, but it will be happening. The other thing you will notice is that these people will not be your regular church people. They will change the narrative. In this congregation, you are going to have generals that are prophesying. You see, your normal prophecy is expected to come from priests. You are not used to an army general. And the army general starts speaking in tongues and starts prophesying. Accurate prophecy. You are going to be seeing these people prophesying from different platforms to turn the kingdom. You will see CEOs that are prophesying. Accurate prophecy. CEOs that the Spirit of God will come on them and tell them the trajectory of the economy for years to come. Then they will start shifting their businesses even before the rest of the country know what is happening. They will divest from one area and be facing another area before you know what is happening. You're going to find movie producers that are prophesying. These people will bridge the divide. They will bear the dichotomy. You know what you call sacred and secular will not exist with this group of people. Because they are carrying Christ inside them and God will use them. They will be thoroughly professional and deeply spiritual. You see, you are used to one-sided people. You remember, these people were double-handed. Do you remember that story? They could use both the right hand and the left hand. The church has been blessed with men that we are one-handed. Men and women that either they were so spiritual. So spiritual. Oh! But he cannot pay his house rent. But he's very spiritual. On the other hand, you have the other types, the left-handed people, who are so successful materially, and they are so professional, so excellent in their professional components and business. But if you ask them to quote 5 verses of the Bible, they say, Pastor, I don't have the gift of quoting. They are blank when it comes to scripture. Now you are going to have double-handed warriors. Men and women that are rooted in the Word of God, rooted in spiritual matters, carrying the power of the Holy Spirit, and prospering astonishingly. I'm talking about CEOs and entrepreneurs and business leaders and government. You forget that Daniel was not a pastor. But pastors cannot understand some of the things he wrote. You know, many pastors are confused by the book of Daniel. Once they get up to chapter 6, you see that chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, they skip it. The only thing they know in chapter 11 is verse 32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But Daniel is talking about the king of the north and the king of the south and a little horn. And they don't pastors. So the man is in the marketplace, but he's so spiritual that pastors in church cannot interpret the prophecy that he wrote. That is what is coming in this time in our generation. And the good news is that you have a place in that purpose. I said you have a place in that purpose in the name of Jesus. You will unleash spiritual missiles and financial missiles at the devil at the same time. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed. And these people are going to... You know, you are used to spirit and spiritual things being separate. And then business and ministry and education and all of these other aspects of society, they are also separate. That's what you are used to. But these people are going to do business with spirit. Come with me to Acts chapter 16. Let me show you something that astounded me when the Lord brought it to me. Acts 16, verse 16. This was in Philippi, and we will not study this passage. This was in the city of Philippi. And the Bible says, it happened as we went to prayer, Paul and his party, that a certain slave girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination, he met us. Now, everybody, help me to read the next words that we find in that place. Who brought... No, go back, sir. Who did what, everybody? She brought her masters much profit. How? By fortune telling. So this girl was a slave girl. She was possessed with a spirit. Now, you see that spirit of divination there? The actual literal word there is python. If your Bible has a margin, you will see python. She was possessed with a snake spirit. A snake was living inside this girl. The name of the spirit was Python. And that spirit had fortune-telling capabilities. It could predict the future. It could tell fortunes. So that spirit is living in this girl. And I want you to notice something that is outstanding in that verse. This girl brought her masters. Masters, much profit. Masters, that is serious because in those olden times, masters didn't own one slave. Slaves usually belonged to one master, and that master had authority over the slave to kill the slave. But this girl was a limited liability company. She had masters. There were several interests in the same one slave. Why was that so? The Bible said she was multiplying money. Much profit. Large profit, one version said. How was this girl able to do that, everybody? By a spirit that was living inside her. So watch the way this thing happens. You when you came, you paid a deposit. And then you went in for consultation. So the girl will sit down there and bang, I don't know what she does to conjure up the spirit. Then Python will begin to move and ascend and provide some information. And then she will say the thing. The man will take it, pay the balance, and it was accurate. And she was making money. This was in the city of Philippi, which the Bible tells us was the chief city in that colony, that Roman colony. Philippi was the big city there. So, brothers and sisters, a spirit was impacting on the economy of a city. Watch the story. So this guy kept on following Paul around, and then one day Paul was angry. Paul said, "But there are certain things that have been following you around. It's time to get angry and take them out of your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." She was following Paul around for some time. "There are certain things that you have tolerated too long." I'm talking to somebody in this place. Did you hear what I said? "Get out of her." And the spirit came out. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the next verse, when her masters saw that their hope of profit, go to the next verse. When they saw that their hope of profit was gone, what did they do, everybody? They grabbed Paul and they said to Paul, "If you know that thing that you cast out of this girl, cast it inside." Paul said, "No, we don't cast in devils. We cast out devils." They say, "We are going to cast you into prison." That's how Brother Paul ended up in prison. You follow the matter? So what happened? Damsel, the girl came back in the evening to do consultation. And then somebody paid deposit. And he came. "Yes." He said, He said, "There is nothing." He said, "What do you mean there is nothing?" He said, "There is nothing." The guy got angry. The guy went there. Give my money. What is wrong with your girl there? And then the masters came and asked her, "Say, what happened to you?" She said, "You know, I went to town today. I saw one man. He's short like this." You know, Paul means little. Paul means smally. The guy could fit into a basket. You'll be reading your Bible now. I saw one small man like that. He said, "Come out. Something went out of me." The masters went and found Brother Paul. Now, brothers and sisters, watch what I'm saying to you. When people used to say that people can make charms to make money, I didn't believe it until I saw this scripture. Brothers and sisters, if an evil spirit can give a girl information for her to produce money from doing business, what makes you think that the Holy Ghost cannot give you information with which to do a $1 billion business? You see, your normal religion put spirit on one side and put business on the other side. But in this terminal generation, those that are going to turn the kingdom, they will do business by the spirit. Come on, somebody give God praise in this place. You understand what I'm talking about? They are going to run schools by the Holy Spirit. They will do spirit-led administration. Things that you never imagine will start coming out. Because they are not operating according to what they got in business school. They got it from spirit school. Somebody give God a clap offer in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what this thing is going to look like, I want you to see that picture that I have up there. This thing that God is talking about will be the rising of the pride. The rise of the pride. We are all used to one big man of God doing great things. But I want you to look at this picture because this is what the end time church will look like. Now, you see that big alpha male. Sorry, my pointer is not showing on the thing there. But I'm sure you can see the big guy there. You know he's their leader. Don't mess up in that group there. It will teach you a lesson. But assuming you met the one at the back, do you see that one at the back there? Far back there. Will you say you met a deputy lion? Why wouldn't you say that? Because that one at the back will do to you what the one in front can do to you. In fact, that one at the back is even more terrible because those lionesses, when they are hunting to feed their babies, they are fierce. They are terrible. Question. Is this what the church looks like today? Can the person at the back seat there do what the man of God on the front seat can do? At the pulpit can do? But I want you to watch out. This is what is coming. Brother Ferdinand, why are you saying that? Because all of them are lions. Do you know that all of us that are seated in this place, the lion of the tribe of Judah is resident inside your spirit? Is that a kind? Is that a correct statement? Why should it be less inside you? Why should it be less inside you? You didn't hear the Bible says you are of God, little children. You didn't say you are of God, men of God. You didn't say that. You say you are of God, little children. And you have overcome them. They say, why is that so? He said, because there is somebody that is living inside you that is greater than the person that is living in the world. This is a picture of Jesus and his younger brothers and sisters marching into the nations to collect what he paid for. And Satan stands no chance. Question. Which of those guys are part-time? Look at these guys. Look at them very well. Which one is a part-time lion? Do you know that in the bush, this lion will eat meat? If he comes to your office, it will eat meat. You may even be the meat. God forbid. God forbid. But I want you to listen. The point I'm trying to make is that environment will not make him change his diet. He's not going to come and start eating banana because he's in town. The idea that there is something holy about church, but when you get to your office, it's a different reality. It shows that you are not a lion. You are not who you are supposed to be. Because if you are, the lion of the tribe of Judah will roar through you in worship, just as he did in this place. But when you get to that office, he will still be roaring inside you. Hallelujah. To overcome temptation, to establish the kingdom of God in the marketplace where he has located you. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's look a bit at some context. I won't spend much time on this, but I want us to look at Acts chapter 1. Our context is the kingdom. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, the Lord Jesus was about to leave, and he was speaking to the brethren there, the apostles. So Luke is giving us the preamble, and Luke says, the former account from verse 1, Acts 1 from verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So now watch verse 3 very closely. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for how long? 40 days. And what was Jesus speaking about for these 40 days? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he kept appearing to these apostles. And when Jesus will come, he will open the curriculum. And what was the curriculum, everybody? Kingdom. Day 2, kingdom. Day 3, kingdom. Day 20, day 35, kingdom. Kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom. Jesus, don't you have another subject? He said, no. Day 40, kingdom. David, Jesus says, okay. Now you have understood the kingdom. It is time for the king to release power to kingdom agents. Now watch this. I believe that this is the key. TV, sir. This is the key. You see this thing that we are doing, sir? This is the thing that will unlock the final revival. Now, Pentecost means 50. But 50 from where? Pentecost is 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Actually, that's the Feast of First Fruits. 7 weeks, 49. Then the next day, they had, you know, that celebration. So don't forget that for 40 days out of that 50 days, Jesus was appearing to them, teaching them about kingdom. And then as Jesus is about to leave, so Jesus says to them, tarry in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere. I'm sending the promise of my Father to you. You are my witnesses. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost ends of the earth, Samaria, and all of that. And then they went and stayed in the upper room. How long were they in the upper room before Pentecost came? Who remembers? 10 days. They didn't stay in the upper room for 40 days or 50 days. They were there for 10 days. And for those 10 days, they were waiting. The people that we are waiting are people that have been indoctrinated in kingdom protocols. People that the king has installed a kingdom software, a kingdom DNA into them. So they were the ones that we are waiting for power. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting, and sat on each of them. You know, there appeared to them cloven tongues of fire. It sat on the head of each of them. They began to speak in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Please follow this story carefully here. Brothers and sisters, the King of Heaven released power to kingdom agents to drive the establishment of the kingdom. That's the story of Pentecost. But Pentecost was not possible until this final kingdom seminar. Jesus had trained them in several other areas of life. Jesus had taught them, discipled them. He had taught them how to live right and how not to quarrel among themselves. But there was something that he still needed to entrench in their spirits. It was a kingdom DNA. See the point I'm making, sir? If you give power to people who don't understand kingdom, what will they do with it? What will they do with it? You know, one of the nightmares of Western society, the Americans especially, is that somebody will cross one of their borders carrying a dirty bomb, what they call a dirty bomb. Nuclear bomb in a suitcase. A terrorist. Do you know, if you give nuclear bomb to a terrorist, the effect will be terrible. Why? Because the guy has an agenda and then he has a bomb to match. But if you give a nuclear bomb to somebody who doesn't know what to do with it, what will he do? He will sit down quietly, carrying power. That is what is happening to many believers. And that is why we are not seeing more manifestations. Because the king will release power to kingdom agents, hallelujah, to drive the establishment of his kingdom. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm sure we are familiar with Matthew chapter 6, you read about the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. He said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. I'm sure you know the rest of that scripture. We will not get into reading the details. But please note something here. Jesus says, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Our context for the whole of this kingdom summit is the kingdom. It's a kingdom summit. It's a kingdom summit. And permit me to say, servants of God, that the matter of the kingdom is the most important matter of all. Hey, the matter about the kingdom is the most important matter of all. When the kingdom matter is involved, no head can be spared. One day Herod was in his palace, and some people came and said to him, Your Majesty, where is he that is born king of the Jews? I'm sure you remember the story after Jesus was born. And Herod said, king of the Jews? I can imagine Herod say, king of which Jews? Because don't forget that Herod is the king of the Jews. Now some people come and say, where is the person that is born king of the Jews? Herod said, wow, okay, I see. So another king has been born. What will happen to me and my dynasty? So Herod said, okay, go and ask very well. He called all those religious people, and that's how he eventually told him it was Bethlehem where the king will be born. And he told the wise men, go and worship, and when you are done, come and let me know, and I will go and worship him. You know the kind of worship that Herod had in mind? You discovered later when he sent soldiers to Bethlehem and slaughtered babies that were 2 years and under. What was Herod looking for, everybody? He was looking for that thing that was a threat to his kingdom. The kingdom is the most important matter of all. And the greatest question in the universe, please, this is not an exaggeration. I personally believe that the biggest question in the whole universe is found in that verse. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The biggest question in the universe is whose will be done? Do you know that that's the question that is scattering families? You know the fight in that family between you and your husband? What is the fight? Somebody is not answering me. What's the fight? Whose will be done here? There's a fight in Nigeria. In Abuja, the only question that they have in that place is whose will be done here? As the elections are coming, the question that people are asking is whose will be done? Whose will be done? The reason is because, please don't miss this. I realized this like never before as I was preparing for this message. The Lord said to me that a kingdom has come where the will of the king is done. The proof of kingdom come is that the will of the king is done. See, your kingdom has not come if your will is not being done. The definitive proof that a kingdom has... When Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and crushed the place, whose will was done in Jerusalem? It was the will of Nebu. It was Nebu's will. Who he wanted to carry to Babylon, he carried captive. What Nebu wanted to carry, he carried. Who he wanted to kill, he killed. But that could not happen until Nebu's kingdom came. But as soon as Nebu's kingdom came, the manifestation of the kingdom. Oh God, raise up a global church that has the kingdom DNA. Once again, the manifestation of a kingdom is that the will of the king is what is happening. The way you will know, you know, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And as we are praying that, these days I'm asking myself, as we pray the prayer, we should ask how. It's okay to pray the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, let your kingdom come, your will be done. Good prayer. But when we finish praying the prayer, we ask ourselves, how does kingdom come? Let me tell you in summary, and you can check this in history. How kingdoms come. Kingdoms come when the agents of a kingdom arrive and they use the power of their king
to establish the will of their king
in a new territory.
For kingdoms to come, kingdoms have to die. Do you know that this, our Lord's Prayer, which we pray nicely and piously inside church, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, do you know that that prayer is a declaration of war? But friend, why are you saying that? Here is why I'm saying that. The territory where we are told to pray for the kingdom of God to come, is it vacant? So there is a kingdom. Excuse me, please. If you go to Abuja, I live in Abuja, and I want to advise you, don't do this. Because you won't come back to Lagos in a hurry. You go to Abuja in the middle of Eagle Square, and you start shouting, "Let another government come now in Nigeria." You're not waiting for election. You know, you are tired of everything that is going on. And you want your own now. Let another government come now in Nigeria. What's going to happen to you? Something will happen to you. Why will it happen to you? Because there is a government in place, in the place where you are praying that another government should come. So every time you pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come," let me announce to you that you are provoking war. You are actually announcing a collision for a king. Excuse me, please. How did the Babylonian kingdom come? The Babylonians came to Judah, broke the place to pieces, and captured the Assyrians, defeated the Assyrians. So kingdoms have to clash. Then one kingdom will die, and another kingdom will be established. When it was time for the Babylonian Empire to end, what happened? The Medes and the Persians came against the Babylonians and attacked them, killed Belshazzar. You know the story. And then they established their own kingdom. When it was time for the Grecian Empire to come, Alexander the Great, with such speed and ferocity, he came against the Medes and the Persians. The Greeks overran the Medes and the Persians and established their own kingdom. When it was time for Alexander's kingdom to end, what happened? The Romans came against Alexander. And against, you know, of course, you know, Alexander's kingdom was divided into four among his generals. And then one of them became stronger, came against the others, and then established the Roman Empire. So, when we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we are announcing a confrontation with everything that is contrary to the will of our king. Everywhere. So do you know what God is looking for? And this is why I believe that God called this kingdom summit. Do you know what God is looking for? God is expecting that you will be an ambassador of his will. When you arrive in your office, you say, "The kingdom, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this office as it is in heaven." So as you sit on your chair as CEO, your only interest is, what is the will of the king in this place? You see, what I'm sharing with you is how Nigeria will change. This is the secret of transformation. You see, transformation happens when the will of the king is done. Imagine now that you are vice chancellor of a university and you arrive on campus. I say, "Praise God. Father, thank you for making me an agent of your kingdom. Thank you that your kingdom will come in this university. Your will be done here as it is in heaven." And then you sit on your chair. First time there is a tender board meeting. And there is already a way that they do contracts. But you see now, another kingdom has arrived in this office. You see, do you know that as a child of God, the kingdom of God is not a place to where you are going. It's a government that is ruling inside you. One of the troubles that we have with this kingdom is that many believers have a futuristic understanding of the kingdom. In other words, you know, when you die, you are going to go to heaven. Jesus didn't say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, take us to heaven." That's not what he said. He said, "Let heaven come. And let your will be done on earth." Not when we get to heaven, but as it is in heaven. In other words, "Father, let the government in heaven be established upon the earth, so that people on earth can experience what happens in heaven." Somebody give God praise. Do you understand the matter now? That is the matter. That is it. So when you open your heart to receive Jesus as Lord, the King stepped into your heart. The Bible said in those days, there was no king in Israel. So what was the result? You say everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Do you know that that's a summary of how you lived before you got saved? You did whatever you wanted. And then King Jesus came inside. Now, you are no longer doing what is good in your own eyes. You want to please the master. You want to do what is right in the eyes of the master. But apart from the kingdom coming in your own personal life, the plan of God is that you yourself, you now become an ambassador of the will of the king. So when you come into class as a student, or to your office in business, or to your place in government, your concern is what is the will of the king in this territory? Is corruption the will of the king? And the idea that, you know, the kingdom is church. No. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of God is not heaven? Say, "Brother Ferdinand, what did you just say?" Please listen. Heaven is the headquarters of the kingdom. But the kingdom rules. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 19, he says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Do you remember once upon a time, the British people, they used to boast. They say, "The sun never sets on the British Empire." Have you heard that statement before? The reason was because the empire was so far flung. You know, in the east, in the Bahamas, in India, in Africa. So as the sun is setting on one side, it's rising on another side of the British Empire. But where was the headquarters of the empire? It was in England, London, Buckingham Palace. But you see, the will of the Queen was not only being done in England, her will was being done in Nigeria, in the Bahamas, in India, Australia, thank you, because all of those places were part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So the reason you will go to heaven when it is time to leave this place is because the King of Heaven is resident inside you. So when you leave planet Earth, you go to headquarters. Does this make sense now? So heaven is the headquarters where the throne of the king is located. But his kingdom rules over all the nations, all the sectors, all the departments, all the persons, all the peoples. The kingdom of God must rule Church Street and Main Street and Wall Street. The kingdom of God has to do with the refuse on the street. It has to do, what will the kingdom look like if it came in your neighborhood? Do you want to know what it will look like? The will of the king will be done there. Is it the will of God for there to be prostitutes around your street? Now you are the ambassador of the will. So what do you do? As an ambassador of the will, as you are passing through that place and you see all of those girls that we are giving birth to by mothers hanging around the road, something in your spirit is saying, "No, this is going to change in this place. Not while I'm here."
Something must be done here. My king doesn't want this. We are going to take action. This will not continue here. You start praying. You start asking the king. You start acting. If you are CEO in a place, is it the will of God that people will not be paid their salary after they have worked? So now that you are CEO, the will of the king will be done in that company. Now you sit in government and you are the accountant. And some people forge certain things and they tell you to sign. You are not more interested in profit. Your agenda is what is the will of the king in this place. Because you have become an agent of the king. Hey, I said you have become a kingdom agent. Hey, I was praying about this thing this morning. It blew my spirit away. You have become an ambassador of the will. I said an ambassador of the will. The will of the king will be done in the marketplace through you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You say it is not the will of God that any should perish. But they are working with you in the office. But it's not the will of the king. So what is going to happen? How will the kingdom come to them? The kingdom will come when you, as an ambassador of that will, you begin to draw grace. I said you begin to do what? You tap grace. And influence that sector. And bring people to Christ. And establish the will of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay. Just a few more things. And as usual, I always know that I will not finish what I want to say. I never finish my sermons. I like it. At least there will be something left for the preacher to consume. A new pastor went to the church where he was appointed as pastor. And that day, I think there was a very terrible rain and all kinds of things. So the pastor waited for church members, and it was only one farmer that came to church. So he went to the farmer. He said, "What do you think? I'm the new pastor. I was waiting for the whole congregation, but you are the only one that showed up." And the farmer said, "Well, I'm not a pastor, but I'm a farmer. I know that if I took a lot of food to feed plenty cows, and I saw only one cow, I will still feed the one cow." So he took it as a signal that they should have church. So they had church. He preached and preached and preached and preached and refused to stop. Eventually, when the whole thing winded down, he asked the farmer, he said, "How did the service go?" The farmer said, "Well, I am not a pastor. I'm a farmer. But I know that if I took plenty food to feed plenty cows, and I found only one cow, I will not force the one cow to eat all the food." So let not your heart be troubled. There will be the sermon will continue next Sunday. Hallelujah. But somebody say, ambassador of the will. Say to me, I'm an ambassador of the will. Can you imagine what is going to happen if all of us get out of church today? And there is only one agenda. The will of the king must be done in my territory. I remember in my days of active medical practice, some women, you know, they assume it was a regular hospital, regular. So they will come to my clinic looking for abortion. Wrong doctor to go to for abortion. The wrongest doctor. Okay, maybe the right doctor, by the way, because maybe you could get help. Then I start preaching. I don't normally just preach salvation. I join the whole sermon because I may never see some of them again. So I join salvation, love of God, judgment of God, wrath of God, forgiveness of God, grace of God, everything. I join it together. I say, no, you can't do this. I am preaching, I'm talking because I am not just a doctor. I'm an agent of the will. I'm an agent of the will. I am representing somebody here. The only thing that can happen in this hospital is the will of my king. I start preaching.
One of them told me, she said, "Doctor, when I finish this one, I will repent." I asked her, I said, "What will God be doing while you are killing the baby in your womb? Is he your classmate?" One came one day, she was a married woman looking for abortion. I said, "Madam, you are married." She said, "Yes. My husband said we don't want another baby. We have had enough." I told her, I said, "You are going to disobey him now. He does not have authority to tell you to abort a pregnancy that you collected from him in your own house." She said, "No, doctor, sorry, we can't do it." I told her, I said, "Madam, no. This child is in your body. The baby is in your womb. Tell him after this one. Two of you, come to me for family planning when you finish. You can't do this." I kept on talking and talking. Oh, thank God. The will of the king was done in that case. Hallelujah. There is a baby alive. Because a kingdom citizen was representing God in a hospital. That lady carried that pregnancy. The pregnancy was smooth. The day she delivered the baby in the hospital, she held the baby. Tears were streaming down from her face. She said, "Doctor, look at what I would have aborted. Look at what I would have aborted. Because you are a carrier of the will, people will not abort their future in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." What do you think is going to happen if instead of minding your business, you arrive at a place and they say, "Well, this is the way we do it," and your spirit says, "That's the way you did it before Brother Ferdinand came. Now we are going to do the right thing." You say, "Brother Ferdinand, what if they kill me in the office?" You die. Don't you understand that people gave their lives so that the will of the king can be established? You don't want to die. What are you doing here? Living for yourself. After the King of Heaven gave his life for you. That's how corruption is going to die. You are the accountant in the office. They are saying, "Sign here." You ask yourself, "Is this the will of my king?" That some people will be diverting what they call government money into their personal pocket. You put your foot down and say, "I'm sorry, sir, I will not be able to sign that." They say, "You? Are you under me or you are above me?" He says, "Sir, sorry, I'm just doing my job. You know, this is what you told us. These are the problems." He says, "Get out, get out, get out." You get out. He says, "What if I die?" That's the trouble. You didn't hear the Bible says that Jesus came so that he can deliver those who through fear of death were all their life held in satanic bondage. You are the principal in that secondary school. And they are organizing expo. They are buying results. They are cheating in the exams. So that the school can have a pass. Now you have arrived as principal. You say, "No, nobody is going to cheat here. Not while I'm here. May the king not suffer loss under your watch." You are not saying that amen very well. I'm talking to you. That is what is going to solve your marital problems. "Madam, instead of insisting on what you want, you have become an agent of the will." You say, "No, you have to do it like this." You shut up and you say to your husband, "What does our king want?" There will be peace in your home. Are you the prince of peace? Why should your will produce peace? This is what is going. Do you know that this is how the apostles, the brethren in the New Testament, this is how they change the world? They accuse them. They say, "These people are preaching that there is another king called Jesus." But don't forget that Caesar was on the throne in Rome. But as far as they were concerned, everything is okay until it collides with the will of my king. Is it the will of the king that you should be driving against traffic? You are not answering me. What does the king want in traffic? You see, this our Christianity that is floating in the sky is a joke. That's why serious-minded people are getting tired of it. All of these widows that cannot pay school fees for their children. Is it the will of the king that children in front of you should be out of school? Some of the school fees are ridiculous. Ridiculous. For how much money was it, Nana, last time? Is it 30,000 naira? We put a child in school, 30,000 naira. That some of you spend on one food in one of these hotels. If you are serious about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you finish praying the prayer, you need to now say, okay, my king, what are we going to do for that kingdom to arrive? Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Let me touch a bit on grace and influence, and then we wrap up in the few minutes that we have left. What is grace? Grace is... Hallelujah! Oi, to hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what grace is? Grace is the kindness of the king. So through the Bible, you hear people say, they are talking to a king, and they said, if I have found grace in your sight. Have you read something like that before in the Bible? Eh? Esther said, your majesty, if I have found grace in your sight. What is grace? The Lord gave me two words that expanded my knowledge of grace. Grace is the kindness of the Almighty. Omnipotent benevolence. Omnipotent benevolence. The kindness of the one that has all power. You see, some of us think that grace of God, I've heard some preachers simplify, they say God gives grace to sinners and glory to saints. Nice talk, but not complete. He said, grace is God. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we deserve. Partial truth, not accurate. Grace is the father and the mother of every other blessing. Grace actually means, I don't have time to study. We have something we call school of grace. Grace is God giving himself to you. Grace is when God says, take it from my account. Imagine God giving you a blank check that says, take it from my account. So if it is forgiveness of sin that you need, you see, some people think that grace just has to do with forgiveness of sin. But you see, you cannot define a divine attribute by creatures. Because God was gracious before there was sin. Do you know that even sinless creation, they are dependent on grace? Even the angels in heaven, they are dependent on grace. The only way creatures can stand before the Creator is grace. He said, what do you have that you did not receive? Grace is the help of the Almighty. It is God's power working on somebody's behalf. Grace is when the king of the universe, hallelujah, has decided to help you with every matter. Kindness of the Almighty. You see, if somebody was kind to you, but the person was limited, no matter what he wants to do for you, because he doesn't have all power, that kindness can only travel as far as his ability. Is that correct? If somebody was all powerful, but the person was not kind, you cannot benefit from his power. But now, what do you think is the possibility when somebody who has all power has decided to be kind to you? That's the grace of God. That's how we are forgiven. That's how we are lifted to sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. That's how we are empowered. That's how every gift, every promise of God comes to us. And as God's grace flows through us, our influence grows. Did you see the connection now? You see, as you continue to download grace and favor and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in a holistic, multi-dimensional way, I said, as you continue to grow in grace, you are growing in spiritual grace. You see, grace is multidimensional. Grace is not just spiritual. There's also financial grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was talking to the Corinthians. He said, also make sure that you abound in this grace. And he was talking of money and material resources. As you grow in grace, the knowledge of God, in professional grace, do you know that as a professional, every improvement, every personal development and capacity building, you are growing in grace. You are growing capacity. And as you do that, you are building influence. Jesus said, there are pictures of influence in the New Testament. Salt, it doesn't make a lot of noise. Light, see them, they don't talk, but they are influencing. Then the perfume. Do you remember that perfume that woman poured on the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Notice the fragrance just filled the room. Hallelujah. That's a picture of influence. Noiseless, but powerful. Then yeast. Do you remember yeast? You plant it in the dough. It begins to walk. It doesn't talk, but you see the effect. May God multiply influence through you. I say kingdom influence in the name of Jesus Christ. You begin to deploy that influence. And as you do, it generates change. I say it produces change. It produces transformation. It changes you as a person, and then it changes your environment as you take a stand to advance the will of the King. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. All right. So, what have we gathered from our sharing today? We have established that God wants to multiply agents, ambassadors of the will of God. I like this thing. Sometimes I come to a barber shop. And when you know those barber shops, they play all kinds of trash. I tell the guy, I say, please change this. You know, they are playing all those hip-hop. And, you know, I have my money in my pocket. I'm the customer, right? Okay, so while I'm around, that nonsense will not play on that screen. I impose my own agenda on the environment. Is it my friend, and this condition that made crawfish to bend. Condition makes crawfish to bend. It doesn't make the lion of the tribe of Judah to bend. No. We are not changing. You are not doing that while I'm here. There are things that should not happen in your presence. Well, of course, if you are doing it, then that there's a problem now. If you think that Nigeria and the nations are going to change by all of us minding our business, you are joking. Somebody is going to take a stand and say, if I perish, I perish. It is the release of the pride. In your family, the quarrels are over. There's only one important question. Husband and wife, you look at yourself in the eye and say, darling, not your will, not my will, but his will be done. If you do that, all of your quarrels will end. Then two of you will search the Bible and spend time praying and fasting. He said, I want to jackpot. You want to jackpot? What did your king say? And let me listen to this jackpot story before I leave you. Please listen to this. Do you know that in the Bible, Elimelech and Naomi, they jackpot? Because there was problem in Bethlehem. There was scarcity in Bethlehem. Where God planned. Bethlehem means house of bread. So there was no bread in the house of bread. So what did they do? They jackpot. Where did they jackpot to? A place called Moab. While they were in Moab, Mahlon, Elimelech died in Moab. Mahlon and Chilion, their two sons, they got married to Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. There was no child after 10 years of marriage. Then the two men died.
Naomi said, I don't know what is going to die next. Let me get out of this place. So she did a counter jabber. Now, listen to the story. When Naomi arrived, she arrived in the time of harvest. Some of the people that are rushing out of Nigeria now will arrive in the time of harvest. Listen. But the problem will be that they didn't plant anything. You should listen. Listen carefully. By the time Naomi arrived, there was a man that did not jackpot. His name was Boaz. And in the years that Naomi and his family were in Moab, in the supposedly place of famine called Bethlehem, Mr. Boaz became a mighty man of wealth. And when Naomi came back from her jackpot, it was somebody who did not jackpot that God used to restore her. This is a parable of Nigeria. He that has an ear, let him hear. If the king is not the one that is posting you outside of this country, the worst thing you can do to your life and to your generations is to send them away. Is to jackpot. I'm telling you, because Boaz is growing richer while you are in Moab. Today, there is a commissioning taking place. I said there is a commissioning that is taking place in this place. God is raising ambassadors of the will. And your option is to identify. Your response is to say to God, for the rest of my life, brothers and sisters, it was our will that scattered our lives. Adam and Eve, they did their will. Your will destroy you. The blessing is in the will of the king. But apart from benefiting from that will, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah, King's God, hallelujah! You will become an ambassador of that will. Rise upon your feet and let us pray. Pranatakai. Come on, somebody give him praise. Raise a shout in this place and begin to pray. Somebody lift up your voice and begin to pray. Oh God, I am done with doing my own will. I am done with living for my will. Let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here. Oh, let your influence flow through me. Oh, to establish your kingdom, to establish your government upon the earth. Come on, somebody pray in this place. Say, oh God, use me. Use me as an agent of your will. In every sector. Pratakai, Kakariato, Tsunami and Alantizi, Pakalataya. To take those children off the streets. To lift the poor out of poverty. To adopt secondary schools. And change the destinies of young people and give them eternal life in Christ. To plunder the kingdom of darkness and establish the kingdom of light. Are you for us or you are against us? Are you for us or you are against us? Kaniata kaniata kaindosa. Shonomini ase parataba. Elesite lake late patalala. Lila minonite saladara. There will be strategic realignment
Begin to realign. Begin to realign. Somebody realign, realign, realign. Begin to realign. Realign your expenditure. Realign. Realign your allegiance. From the house of Saul to the house of David. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. Follow the cloud of glory. Follow the cloud of glory. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Somebody realign, realign, realign. Realign your allegiances. Realign your commitments. Oi, oi, kosolamina ni safarava ika zaraba. One kingdom, one kingdom, one will, one will, one will, one will to be God everywhere upon the earth. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There are a couple of things to do, and I get out of your way. As you are in church today, there are persons in this place. You have been doing your will for too long. Today, the King of Heaven is calling you to surrender. And you are saying, Brother Ferdinand, pray with me. I want to surrender my will. I want to surrender. Don't confuse yourself with religious terminology. As long as you are doing your own will, you are not under the King. You are saying, Lord, today I come to the place of surrender. Please put up your hand. I would like to pray for you. Raise the hand. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Raise that hand above your head. Lady there, lady there. Put that hand up. You are saying, Jesus, I've been doing what I like. Even with your body, you are doing what you like with your body. Put the hand up. Jesus wants to have mercy on you. Raise the hand up. As you are putting up your hands, please come. I want to pray for you. Come, 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 come. Come from that side. Come from up there. This is your day. This is your moment of surrender. See, I've been doing my will. I've been doing what I like. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Come, come, come. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Where are you at the back there? What are you waiting for? You are watching what you like. You are reading what you like. You are sleeping with who you like. Come down from the place. The King is waiting for you. You are getting money however you like. The King is waiting. Now begin to pray. Say, I surrender to you, Jesus. From today, you are King in my heart. My will has destroyed me. Look at what you do. Guys, I kill them. Satan, I break your power. I break your chains over these lives. I break your power over every one of them. Loose them and let them go. Now, in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Spirit of uncleanness and stubbornness. I break your chains. I break your yokes. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Now surrender to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you are my King now. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. Some of you there, you are backsliding. You used to serve the king, but now you are going back. Come forward. Come and receive grace. The Lord wants to give you grace. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I surrender my body. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. You are my King, Jesus. Nothing but your will. Nothing but the will. Oh, church, where is the generation? Where is the generation of the church that says nothing but the will? Nothing but the will of my King. The rest of us, can we begin to pray like that? Nothing but the will. In your business, the money is secondary. Nothing but the will of my King. Oh, you pledge. Sing it. Everybody, let's sing and pray now. Sing it. Come on, King's Court. Who are you going to serve? Oi. Thank you, Father, for these ones. In the name of Jesus, Lord, these ones now are yours. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. Their past is canceled. It's taken away. Satan, your power over them is broken. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, loose them and let them go. Holy Spirit of God, take away the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Put the new spirit inside them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And let the change in their lives be genuine. Let it be permanent. And let it endure. And cause them to grow in the grace of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please, can all of you just come with our brother here? Oh, that way. Okay. So just please go with them. Even if you have been coming to church before, please go with them. Hallelujah. Now. Hallelujah. King's Court. King's Court. King's Court. Come on, King's Court. All of us, listen. You are going to go away from this place. There is only one agenda. And those will be the last prayers I want to pray. You see that prayer that we pray, thy kingdom come. The prayer is in the imperative. This is how the prayer sounds in the real original. It says, your name be hallowed. King kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done. You look like a lamb, but when it comes to the will of your master, you will become a lion. I'm not getting that amen from you, Sada. No. Everything can happen until it collides with the will of my king. Then, if we are going to die, we will die. After all, he died. He died for us. A kingdom can only advance when the carriers of the wheel, when they arrive. There is no hope for any kingdom if there are no agents. Do you know that this our government will have finished if they didn't have agents of their will? The two prayers we want to pray, I perceive there is a release of double-handed warriors. I say double-handed warriors. You are going to be a double-handed warrior. You will be deeply spiritual, thoroughly professional. You will be a CEO, not a backsliding, compromising CEO that is doing deals under the table and smiling inside church. But the CEO that is on fire for God, discipling your company. Double-handed warriors. When prayer is needed, you will fire it. When money is needed, you will fire it. You are going to do business by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, do you know that there was a spirit walking in that girl, but there was also a spirit walking inside Brother Paul? As many persons as are saying to God, commission me today as a double-handed warrior to turn the kingdom. I want you to take a step forward. I want to pray with you. And as you are coming, be praying. This invitation is for everybody. I wish somebody will step out and say, God, commission me as a double-handed warrior. A double-handed warrior. God is going to raise several of you as kingdom treasurers. I said, God will raise several of you as kingdom treasurers. God will raise several of you as kingdom treasurers. Just begin to pray. Say, Lord, I am here. Let an anointing, let your spirit come now. Sanatai, cover. Somebody pray, somebody pray. Taria, taria, taria. Sanamina naita, lisa. Ekete tisto palipa. Shandriendele kai, kobiyasi. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the past. Face your future now. Face the future, face the future. Kanatai, kanatai, kanatai. Kio nakataran andresi, pankataya. An anointing is coming on you today. An anointing is coming on you today. Toaria, Taria Sevandesa, Tani Matika Tetalekania, Isita Tata Kaladora, Prate, Prate Castellamiana Taila. Tateriase, take it, receive an anointing. Tarakai, Tarakai, Tarakai. Andres and Andres, Ikanatai. Lateria. Just lift up your hands where you are. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Sandris, something is shifting in your life. Shentopse Karia. Right Akatse Parianda. Eitose Pariata Pakatai. Siande Letaria. Lift up the hands where you are. Salo, Salo, Salo Kai Nanianda Kalitai. Father, in the name of Jesus, these priceless servants of God, let there be a shift in their spirits right now. Let there be a realignment in their spirits. Let there be fire inside their bones. Let there be fire inside their bones. Oh God, let there be fire inside their hearts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, right now, let an anointing rest upon them. The anointing of the double-handed warrior. Receive the anointing of the double-handed warrior. Receive the anointing of the double-handed warrior. Receive it in the name of Jesus. You will beat down the enemy, right and left, in the name of Jesus. You will be on target. I said you will be on target, in the name of Jesus. I showed you that Jesus prepared them for power by teaching them the kingdom. Now that you have received instruction about the kingdom, let the power of the kingdom begin to back you up now. Receive the power of the kingdom. Manifestations of the Spirit, such as you have never experienced before. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are unleashed. I said you are released. Oh, Santana Hanataya, the enemies of our King, they will bow before you. I said the enemies of our King, they will bow before you. The enemies of the King, they will bow before you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Today, you are commissioned as an ambassador of the will of God in every sector. In the name of Jesus. Nothing but the will. Nothing but the will. Oh, come on, King's Court. Come on, King's Court. On the street, in the bank, in the church, in the school, in the hospital, in the market. Nothing but the will. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God praise in this place. Raise a shout. Come on, praise God. Raise a shout. Give Him praise. I come back up. Hallelujah. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Come on, somebody shout. Nothing but the will. Nothing but the will. Nothing but the will. Wait. Come on, give Him praise, give Him glory. One more minute, again, give Him praise, give Him glory. There is an army. There is an army that is being released today. Like that army that David had. And you are a part of that army. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah.